Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 3 says this: "For we which have believed do enter into rest." As he said, "As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, Today, after so long a time, as it is said, Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." This Labor Day weekend that we're upon, kind of ironically, I told the Elam boys, spending some time with them this week. Matthew did make it back to Russia, praise the Lord for that. And Joshua will still be with us. He is at Central Baptist Church this morning. But I was telling them, they asked what Labor Day was, and I was trying to explain it to them. I said, it's a day that we celebrate work by doing nothing. And so they got it. The fact is this, you know, I was telling that we appreciate this weekend because a lot of work goes in around here getting ready for the school year this week. And then once Tuesday hits, you know, there are very few breaks, and we hit it hard here for the next few months. And so Brother told Brother Price, they went out of town today, spent the time with his mother-in-law, said rest while you can, and because it's a busy time. And heaven has many different references in the Word of God, but this is one of my favorites here in Hebrews chapter number 4, because here heaven is referred to as a place of rest, a resting place. A Sunday school teacher one time was teaching his boys, because only boys could give this answer. And the Sunday school teacher was talking about heaven. He said, now he's trying to get them to understand what he's talking about. He said, God has prepared a beautiful place with a street of gold, and a river flows through it, and the throne of God is there. And he started describing it. He said, what is this place called? And one of the boys raised their hand and said, heaven. He said, exactly right. And then he said, now let me ask you this. What do you need to do in order to go there? Another boy raised his hand and said, die. That's a pretty good answer, I guess. You know, but what he was looking for is that you must be prepared to go to heaven. In verses 1, 2, and 3 in the same chapter, it talks about this. It says, let us therefore fear, in verse 1, lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. God has made a promise that there's a resting place for everyone. But the unfortunate thing is that many fall short of this. The reason in verse number 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. The fact is this, that the gospel is being preached, and if you give me a moment, I'll preach it today. See, what is the gospel? The gospel is the fact that, number one, all of us are sinners. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us in this room have this common denominator. We all are sinners. And because of our sin, there is a punishment for our sin. The repercussions for our sin in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. What we deserve for our sin is death. The Bible says that Adam sinned, and that sin nature was passed upon all men. And so the curse of death was passed upon every one of us. But praise the Lord, Jesus did something about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Understand what happened is the wages of our sin, what we deserve for our sin, is death. But Jesus, God's Son, was sent to this world. He who is perfect, he who is righteous, he is different than any of us in that he has never sinned and never will and never could. But while he was on this earth, he came for this purpose. He went to the cross and died for our sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us, the Bible says. All of our sins were placed upon him, and when Jesus died upon the cross, no one killed Jesus. The Bible says he gave up the ghost. He willingly went to the cross. He suffered for our sins. He died for our sins. Our sin curse was placed upon him, and he died upon that cross. But if Jesus would have stayed dead in that grave, then death would have won. Sin would have won. But he didn't stay in the grave. Amen. In 3 days, he arose from the grave, showing that he not only paid for our sins, but he conquered the curse of sin. Death could not hold him. He arose from the grave. And he's in heaven today. And he extends to all of us this gift of eternal life. This gift of one day going to heaven. A resting place. But as Hebrews 1 and 2 says, there's many who have not are not going to go there because they've fallen short. It says again in verse number 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. See, what do you mean? I mean that there may be someone here today that you're not certain you're going to heaven, and you've just heard the gospel. Now, how many this morning, you're kind of dragging a little bit, I know it's a long weekend, but how many of you this morning are very thankful and with an amen or a praise the Lord or hallelujah or whatever you want to do, say, I am so glad for the day that I got saved.
Amen.
Amen. What a wonderful day that was. What a glorious day. You see, I was a sinner just like everybody else, and so was everyone that just amen. But the fact is this, we heard the gospel, but we mixed that with our faith, if you will. We received the gift of salvation by believing. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should perish. Again, I always do this illustration every time I go to a nursing home. You've heard it 100 times, but it's just a beautiful picture. We go to the nursing home, we purchase a gift, we secure a gift, we bring a gift. We call it the grace gift because it is a picture of God's grace. And what we do is someone is chosen to receive this gift. I don't know what it was this past week, but the price was there. The week before, we had a giant picture of an elephant. It was awesome. A little teeny elephant. All right, we're doing elephants, all right? So it's awesome. And so we pick that person, we go to them, and say, this is for you. Someone already paid for it. Someone already sacrificed for it. Someone already gave it. But you have to receive it. And that person could say, I don't want it, but in my years of going to nursing home, no one's ever done that. They've always reached forth and took it because they believed it was theirs.
Right.
Salvation, going to heaven, is the same way. Jesus already paid for it by dying on the cross for you.
Right.
And now he offers it to you. But you, by faith, must receive it. The Bible says that with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. If you will believe that Jesus Christ did that for you and today choose to receive it by faith, that gift is yours. The Bible says, they that come to me, I will no wise cast out. What a wonderful promise. God has never said no to anybody that's asked for salvation. Praise the Lord for it. But you must receive it. And again, it's not by works of righteousness. You know, going to church won't send you to heaven. Getting dunked in a baptistry won't get you to heaven. Those are all works we do, and it's a good thing to get baptized after you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a good thing if you want to do good works and you want to act right and not cuss and do all these things. Those are good things, but doing those things won't get you to heaven. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, Titus chapter number 3 says, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It's not what we do. My grandpa used to always say, if you're counting on a baptistry to get you to heaven, you'll go down in the water as a dirty sinner and you'll come up as a wet sinner. Because
right.
That water doesn't do anything for you.
Right. Right.
But what Jesus did for you can change your life.
Yes.
But the Bible says here in this verse that they didn't receive what has been, not just me, what's been preached for 2,000 years. Beyond that. But they didn't receive it in faith. Verse 3 says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest." If you've believed upon the gospel message today, one day we're going to enter into that rest.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that a wonderful,
yes,
wonderful
sir.
Thought?
Amen.
That could be today, by the way. But I want to preach real quick this morning. A rest from what? I mean, what are you resting from? When I was a kid, man, I used to hate nap time. Our kindergarten class had night nap time. I hated it. I never napped. Going through high school, people would say they took naps. I never napped. When I got to college, I saw people, they would talk about taking a nap. They called it, I think, a kindy. You know what they called it? Yeah, a kindy. I guess because kindergarten. I was like, you guys are weak taking naps. After about 4 months in college, I looked forward to my naps. Every day, man. Mine was between 1 and 2. I would try to sneak in a nap. Classes all day, sleep an hour, then work till midnight and then study half the night. And then that hour was precious to me, right? Now, some of the guys, they didn't have to work. Spoiled people. Some of those guys, they didn't take little naps. Because they weren't tired. What I'm reading about today, that place of rest is precious to a lot of people. And it's precious to those who are laboring. It's one of those things that people that aren't doing a whole lot for the Lord, they just sit there and say, well, that's nice. But those who are giving their best, they look forward to this day of rest.
Yes.
This forever rest. What are we resting from? Let me give you just a couple things. Just stay with me real quick. What are we resting from? Because if you're resting, there's a reason you're resting, right? We're resting, number one, from our works. And the Bible specifically says that in verse number 10, "For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works." We're resting from our works.
Yes.
Well, what works? You say, preacher, you just said that you don't work to go to heaven. Absolutely, you don't work to go to heaven.
Right.
You're saved by grace through the faith that we put in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But the fact is this, that everyone who's saved, the Bible says you are a new creature. The Bible says after Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." God expects his children after salvation to live a righteous life, to live a life that honors the Lord. We become a servant of God. Amen. Everybody that's saved should be a servant of the Lord. Everyone that's saved should be a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers. We are in a battle, my friend. This world is not our friend. This world and the evil that is out there, we aren't to put our arm around it and love on it. It's not our best friend. Friendship with the world is enmity with Christ, the Bible says. We are in a battle. We are here to serve the Lord. And I don't know what kind of battles you know about, but everybody that's ever gone forth to battle, they come home tired. Talking to Brother Harris a couple weeks ago when we pulled him out because of the danger that was there. By the time they crossed the border, he called to let me know he crossed the border. He'd only drove 2.5 hours and everything went fine. But the night before in those 2.5 hours had been a long 12 hours.
Right.
And we got on the phone, he said, "We made it across the border." And then he just started crying.
Yeah.
And he said, "I'm sorry." I said, "You don't have to be sorry."
No, sir.
He said, "We're just tired." Because
yeah.
He's a servant.
Mm-hmm.
He's a soldier. If you're going to live for the Lord, it's work. I'm not saying it's not awesome. It's the greatest life. But if you're going to have a successful Christian life, there will be works of righteousness. The Bible says that when we pass away, our works should follow us, be a testimony. But works, We'll be resting from our works of righteousness. We'll be resting from our works of reaping. If we're going to be what God wants us to be, what does the Bible say in Psalm 126? He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. If we're going to be what God wants us to be, we're going to be busy out there sowing and reaping.
Yes.
I just went through with my Sunday school class, a refresher on just being a soul winner, because we need that. And I told them, I said, no one answer, and I'll not do the same in here. But how long has it been since we went through the gospel message with someone? How long has it been since we told someone about heaven and told them about Jesus? That's the work we're left here to do.
That's right.
If it weren't for souls being saved, the moment we got saved, God would just might as well take us to heaven. But he left us here because we have a duty. We have a great commission, the Bible says. And that takes effort. And I'm looking at these things and saying we're going to rest from our works, as the Bible says we're going to rest from our works. But again, the Bible compares it, this is not me making up something, as with God, as with creation, and on the seventh day he rested from his works.
Right.
Do you think God dreaded every day of creation? Do you think God was worn out in that way? No chance. God is an all-powerful God. Amen? But there was a picture there that God laid down for us. He did what he wanted to do. He did what gave him joy. He gave him what is, you know, a plan for all of eternity. And he did it, and then he stopped as a picture. Not because he was exhausted. God's never been exhausted. Amen. But he stopped as a picture that we will live our life in light of what is coming ahead and the fellowship that's going to be there. And someday we will enter into that rest. All the works of righteousness, all the times that it was hard, all the times that we were a servant of God, all the works of reaping, all the time that we spend telling others and sharing the gospel, one day we'll cease from those works. Just for sake of saying a couple more, there's works of recovery. Reconciliation. God has given to all of us the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? That's helping restore people. Recover people. I'm glad people have sought my reconciliation. Because there are times in my Christian life I've drifted and gotten places I shouldn't be. But I'm glad that people kept preaching and kept loving and kept helping.
Amen.
God has given to every one of us the ministry of reconciliation.
Yes.
What does that mean? That means there's sometimes that there's some who are maybe in church for a while that drift off.
Right.
Some that maybe have gotten into some things they never thought they would get involved. And listen, friend, don't ever cast a stone.
That's right.
He that thinketh he standeth, better take heed lest he fall. Every one of us at our very best are men at best, and we have to understand that all of us can fall into places we didn't think we'd ever fall into. But if we're where we should be, we should never forget that there are people around us that need help, that need love, that need a helping hand. Can I ask you a question again today without a response? But who in your life are you trying to reconcile to get back with the Lord where they should be? You see, this place of rest will mean more to you when you're busy with works of righteousness, when you're busy with works of reaping, when you're busy with works of recovering, when you're busy with works of reformation. Say, what do you mean reformation? I'm not talking about something that happened in the 1500s. I'm saying to this, that God is still should be doing a work in our life, and we should be giving more like Christ every day.
Yes.
Theological word we use, a phrase, is a progressive sanctification. The very first song that me and Crystal ever sang was in church was, "He's Still Working on Me." And guess what? I'm 46 years old, and he's still working on me.
Yes.
There's a work going on.
Right.
But when I get to heaven, that work is done. And it isn't because of me. It's because I am predestinated to be like Christ one day. This body will put off mortality and will put on immortality. This sinful nature will be shed off and left behind, and I will be a partaker forever of his divine nature.
Yes.
What a wonderful day.
Yes.
Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. But there's a work going on, and that work is still going on. We'll rest from our works, the works of righteousness, the works of reaping, the works of recovering, the reformation, and the works of religion. And I don't mean that in a bad light. The works of religion. The Bible says, and I'll read it just a few pages over, in James chapter 1 and verse number 27, it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Now listen, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let me tell you what real religion is. A lot of talk about religion out there, but God's definition of religion is this, that we have a heart for those who are hurting, the fatherless and the widows, and we keep ourselves unspotted from the world. You know what both of those things take? Work. The fatherless and the widows, we need to reach out to them. We need to talk to them. We need to invest in them. It takes work. To keep yourself and myself unspotted from the world, that takes a lot of work. Because this world is filthy. And if you just welcomed it into your life, and their entertainment's your entertainment, and their life is your life, and their language and their dress and their everything is your language and your way of life, then this rest really doesn't excite you. But man, when you've been trying to do these things, it's going to be a glorious day. It's also in some ways a sobering thought. I want you to hear this before we go on. That we'll put aside these works. Someday, you won't have the opportunity to witness to that loved one again. Someday, you won't have the opportunity. And praise the Lord, you'll be in heaven. If you're saved, you'll be in heaven. But you won't have that opportunity to tell him again. There's one thing in hell that we all need. Remember that rich man that went to hell?
Yes.
And this wasn't a parable. When God uses real names, it's not a parable.
Right.
And that rich man in hell, and Lazarus had died and gone in paradise, and that rich man, what was his cry? Send someone to my brothers. Lest they come to this place. There is a burden for souls to be saved in hell.
Yes.
Probably more than in most churches.
Yes.
Bad. Rest from our works. Rest, number two. This is awesome. A rest from wickedness. Doesn't sin wear on you? Look over in Revelation chapter 21, towards the very back of your Bible. Revelation chapter number 21. Just stay right here for a little bit. Revelation chapter 21. Look at this real quick in verse number 27. Revelation 21 and verse number 27 says this, and there shall in no wise enter into it, talking about heaven, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, your name will always be in the Lamb's Book of Life. But the Bible says here in this passage of Scripture that nothing will be in heaven that defiles. Nothing will be in heaven that is sinful. Nothing will be in heaven that lies. Nothing will be in heaven that is an abomination to God. I'm thankful today that when we get to heaven, that we can rest from wickedness. Because right now, we have to deal with it. We live in a world today that we have to deal with the cause of sin. The cause of sin is our own flesh, by the way. The cause of sin is the devil. The cause of sin is the world, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. All that's in the world, we have to deal with it every day. And to a child of God that loves the Lord and is trying their very best to walk with the Lord, it wears on you. As a pastor, it wears on you. Because you see what sin is doing to people. You take the phone calls of people crying. Take the phone calls of people, the child's gone astray, or terrible accident, or an overdose. Multiple times I've had to go to mom and dad and tell them that their child's dead. That wears on you. They went back to drugs, or they went back to this or that. This world's full of this. With the cause of sin and the curse of sin. Won't it be great someday when there'll be no more death?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
No more funerals. No more separation. Praise the Lord. The curse of sin will be removed. The curse of sin when it comes to addictions and control. The Bible talks about that sin becomes like cords and holds people. I'll be thankful someday when there'll not be one vile thing that will hold anyone back. Addiction's real. Because sin is real. But someday will be rest. Praise the Lord from that. Cause of sin, the curse of sin, and the catastrophe of sin. Sin always leaves destruction and death.
Right.
Your life, your family, your church, your business, your neighborhood, your country, your world is greatly affected by sin. It gets wearisome. Wickedness leaves hurt and destruction. But someday, you'll never have to deal with it again.
Yes.
Rest from our works and rest from wickedness. I wrote down these things. Give me just a moment. Rest from worrying. Now I know, and I'll be super spiritual real quick. The Bible tells us, be careful for nothing, and we shouldn't worry. But we do.
Yes.
We worry about money. But someday we'll walk on a street made of gold. But today we worry about money. We worry about bills and health. We worry about our happiness and our expectations. But one day, we will never worry about anything again.
Thank you, Lord.
Wouldn't it be wonderful? Because the Bible says there'll be no more sorrow. If you're there in Revelation, look at verse number 4. Revelation 21, verse number 4. Talking about heaven still. The Bible says in Revelation 21, 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
Yes.
And it's a wonderful thing.
Yes.
There's no more worrying. Now, I had these things written down. I'm going to go through them really quick. I just think they're fun in this passage. You look at Revelation chapter number 21. Glance at this with me. In verse number 1, there's no more sea. No more sea. I wrote down next to that. You know what seas do? They divide.
Yes.
You know, there's Brother Matthew Elam made it back to Russia. He's the only man I've ever heard say this in this country. He said, Pastor, I'm so nervous, but when I get to Russia, I know I'm okay. I said, I've never heard anyone else say that in my lifetime, right? You know, but that's what he said. But he had to go across this big sea to get there, right? That's what the seas do from the book of Genesis. They separate. Our sins are cast to the depths of the sea. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Our sins are cast into the depths of the sea. And the number one thing God says, when you get to heaven, there's no more sea. Amen.
Yes.
Your sins were cast in those seas, and now there's not even seas. That ought to make you want to praise the Lord. Amen. There's no more sea. There in verse number 4, there's no more sadness. All tears will be wiped away. In verse number 4, there's no more sleep. I'm referring to death. It says, and there shall be no more death. Praise the Lord for that. Glorious thought. Verse number 4, there's no more sorrow. Neither sorrow nor crying. There'll be no more suffering there in verse number 4. All these things are going to be gone. Isn't that a wonderful thing? No more pain. Every morning I get out of bed, I make more and more noises when I get out of bed. It hurts more and more, all right? And I fear it's coming ahead of me. I don't want that, you know, but someday. None of that will be there.
Glory to God.
No more doctors, no more prescriptions, no more medicines, no more chemo, no more cancer, no more COVID. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
It will all be gone. All of that will be behind us. No more suffering, no more sorrow, no more sleep, no more sadness, no more sea. And verse number 22, look at this real quick. And this may not excite you as much, but it does me. Verse number 22, there'll be no more sanctuaries. And I saw, the Holy Spirit made it, put it in here for us, and I saw no temple therein.
Yes.
Now, to a pastor, it's glorious. Because there's this thing called the care of the church.
Yes.
Which really, it's not easy. But someday God's got all that.
Yes.
And we won't have to go find a place to worship Him. We'll live in a place to worship Him. No more sanctuaries. In verse number 23, there's no more sun. The city had no need of the sun. There's no need for the sun in heaven. The Bible tells us why.
Yes.
For the glory of God did lighten it.
Yes.
Praise the Lord for that.
Yes.
No more sun. By the way, there's no more sundown. Verse 25, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by night. Or sorry, at all by day, for there shall be no night.
Yes.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
There's no night. There's no darkness. Because in Him is no darkness at all.
That's right. Amen. Yes.
Chapter 22 and verse number 3, I wrote this too. There's no scourge there. And there shall be no more curse. All these things we've already talked about, all of those things are gone. Isn't that wonderful? And we will enter into rest. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a place I'm looking forward to being in.
Yes.
And I know we have things that we're here for, and I know we have family and friends and loved ones. But the longer you live in this world, and the more, and that's what the rest is, the more you work, and the more you realize what wickedness is doing, and the more that you stay up at night worrying about these things, the more you long for that place of rest. A place of rest from number 4, our wondering. Again, these are just my thoughts. A rest from wondering. See, what do you mean? And I'm not talking about wandering around. I have a purpose. I have a goal. I mean this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at this real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Now, enjoy this with me. I'm enjoying this. 1 Corinthians 2. And in verse number 9, look at this real quick. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 9. I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. But, the Bible says, but as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him.
Yes.
I say a rest from wondering because I wonder about heaven all the time. I mean, sometimes my puny little mind just fizzes out because I can't comprehend it. And you're all staring at me really weird. There's no time in heaven. That blows your mind. Because everything we do is on time. Some of you have already been looking at your watches this morning. Stop it. All right? But we do everything according to time. I mean, our lives are according to time. Our lives are about time. You know, everything is based on time. The absence of time that God has always been, that I'll never die. I mean, the concept and a lot of these things about heaven, that the little that we know, you know, the new heaven, the new Jerusalem, a new earth, will be like Him. We'll travel from one place to another in just a moment. The thought.
Yes.
You'll be able to walk through a wall.
Right. Yes.
I got Bible to show it to you.
Yes.
I mean, these things blow our mind. I can't comprehend it all. You know, people ask me all the time, will we know each other? Well, yes. My uncle used to say, you don't get stupid when you get to heaven, right? Yes, you know each other, right? You know, of course we'll know one another. What will we look like? Probably me.
Right.
I'm just kidding. That's a joke. Seeing if you're paying attention, which none of you were, right? No, when we get to heaven, we'll have a perfect being.
Right.
Will we look alike? I don't know. You know, will I know my spouse? Well, of course you'll know them. You won't be married, though. Will my pet be there? I'm not even going to talk about these things. This, because you get mad at me. But hey, listen. The fact is this. Heaven is going to be a wonderful place and a place that we cannot comprehend. But one day, it all makes sense. One day, we won't wonder about a thing. It will just be natural to us. And I can't wait to get there to rest from my wondering. To rest, number five, from my weeping. I've already read the verse in Revelation 21. We'll have to turn back there. That God will wipe away all our tears. We shed a lot of tears on this earth. I've shed a lot of tears, and so have you. There's tears of hurt. There's tears of pain. There's tears of sin. Tears of sin. There's tears of abuse. There's tears of death. There's a whole lot of tears shed on this earth. But someday, I will rest from all of that. And there'll never be a tear shed in glory. Praise the Lord for that. And I know I need to close, so I'll give you this last thing. Rest from our waiting. From our waiting. Right now, we're waiting. Waiting for the sound of the trumpet. Waiting for that loud voice that will call us up to the Lord. And waiting kind of includes with itself a whole lot of things. One of the first things I learned when I first started in the ministry is this simple thing, which maybe I think most of you understand. How weird it is that sitting in a waiting room at a hospital wears you out.
Yes.
I mean, you just sit in a chair. But if you spend a day there while a loved one's in surgery or something like that, you're exhausted when the day's over. Because waiting, it wears you out because your mind's busy. Your mind is rolling. Every phone call is that for us. Every time a doctor walks through the door, is that us? Every time a pager goes off, is that for my family? You hear an alarm going off somewhere and you think, it wears on you. Are they going to be okay? Is it going to work out? Will it be successful? We go through a lot of those things on this earth, don't we?
Yes.
We're concerned for our loved ones. We see alarms all around us. We hear preaching, the Lord's coming back.
Amen.
We're waiting. And waiting. It wears you out. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And someday when the Lord calls us out of here, we will rest from our wait. We won't have to wait another moment. Matter of fact, even the time and the transition from this earth to Him is in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. No more waiting. Praise the Lord, we'll be like Him. I'm looking forward to this place of rest. Going to be great. We're going to give an invitation, and we invite you this morning that if you have never received the gift of eternal life, I want you to come down and let me or one of these men or ladies speak to you today. All we're going to do is take and show you what the Bible says. You can be saved today.
Amen.
And understand, it's not who we are and the works we do, but it's God's gift that we must receive by faith. To every child of God this morning, if we're being what we should be, the place of rest is so sweet.
Yes.
If we're not involved in these things we spoke of, let's get involved. Because that's what we're here for.